Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We, of course, are following the Jacob Zuma story. Goodness, that's back in court. The medical parole story being challenged once again. It's just absurd. To me, it is just absolutely ridiculous. And I love the headline that we spoke about a little bit earlier. I just want to go to it. There is no doubt Zuma is terminally ill, argues Mpofu, defending the ex-president's medical parole. Now, there's gaslighting if ever I've heard of it. What do you mean there's no doubt he's terminally ill? It's been a year. It's been a year, and he seems to be pretty okay. If that's terminal illness, well, sign me up. We wanted to get a little bit more information about this. What does this mean to the country that we are expected to live through this type of sham? Richard Spoor, South African human rights attorney, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well, thank you.
So are we being gaslighted? What do you mean there's no, what does he mean there's no doubt that he's terminally ill?
Well, what he relies on is a conclusion by one of the doctors, Dr. Mafa, saying that he has a terminal condition. Mm. But what is concealed is the foundations for that conclusion, which are concealed under the cloak of medical privilege and privacy. So President Zuma's team have done is to hide all the information that might be used to substantiate that claim under the cloak of privilege, and then to say, well, here's the conclusion and you have to accept it. What it ignores is the fact that subsequent to that report of Dr. Mafa, various specialist medical investigations were done. These were made available to the medical parole board, and the medical parole board concluded that he did not qualify for medical parole, which means that he was not suffering from a terminal condition. Mm. So the allegation is to say, and to put it kindly, exceptionally weak.
So, is there no time that you relinquish or you give up that right of privilege? Surely if you're relying on something, you can't just expect a court to say, well, okay, fine, it's privilege, but you're relying on it, but you don't have to share it. Does that make, surely if you're relying on something like that, the implication is you have to disclose it.
Well, Mpofu is saying that he refused as of right, and mm-hmm. that he blames the applicants in this challenge to the parole decision of Arthur Fraser by saying, well, your mistake was that you should have pressed harder on the privilege issue, and you should have taken that to the court, and you should have forced us to make disclosure. But by failing to force us to disclose the underlying medical facts, you have effectively accepted the waiver, accepted the privilege, and you're stuck without the medical records. So he's kind of trying to turn the thing around and say it was the DA and the other party's duty to challenge and dispute in court his claim to privilege.
But that said, this is an appeal. The High Court found at the time irrational, unlawful, and unconstitutional. So therefore, given that this is the appeal, isn't the onus on him to prove it otherwise and not on the court?
Mpofu argues differently. He says it's up to the applicants here to prove that he's not suffering from any terminal illness. But where their whole case falls down is the fact that after this Mafa report, the medical parole panel considered additional expert medical reports and concluded that the jurisdictional fact, i.e. that he's suffering from a terminal illness, wasn't there and recommended that parole not be granted. And that has not been dealt with, and they had insight into those medical reports, even though the applicants didn't. But what Mpofu does in response to that is he contends that the Commissioner of Prisons, Arthur Fraser, wasn't obliged to have regard to the findings and conclusions of the Medical Parole Board. He's saying, no, on the one hand, you have the Medical Parole Board. On the other hand, you have Dr. Martha's report. And Arthur Fraser is free to choose as he will between them which version he wants to follow. And it's that issue that's quite strongly contested by the applicants in this matter.
How's this likely to go? And surely the fact, before I even get to how likely is it, surely the fact that very clearly he would have survived his term in prison. I mean, that's just fact. He would have survived it because we are way after. He's still alive way after he would have been released from prison. Yeah. Isn't that proof enough that, I mean, it feels like the theater of the absurd, this.
Well, my reading is that they've achieved what they want. I mean, it's very likely that the original decision of Judge Motsuane of the High Court will be upheld.
Right.
And that Arthur Fraser's decision will be set aside. But it's very likely that the argument of Mpofu that the period he spent on parole counts towards his sentence. From my listening and close watching of this proceeding yesterday, I think he's likely to win on that. And his period of imprisonment ends in October. So that means that by the, you know, when this issue is finalized, his parole period will have expired, his sentence will have expired, and that will be that he won't go back to prison. And that probably was the objective in the first place. I think on that argument that the parole period serves as part of his sentence is much stronger. And I think it's a very attractive option for the court to go for. So I assume that if we get a decision in the next few weeks, President Zuma could well find himself back in prison for until October for a couple of weeks. But no doubt there will be further appeals and further applications for leave to appeal. And by the time these legal proceedings are worn out, well, the effect of Fraser's unlawful decision will be academic.
It's really just phenomenal, because I think this does so much damage to the whole legal process, to a sense of justice.
There's certainly an argument that our courts need to clamp down on this kind of Stalingrad type strategy. I mean, it's being abused repeatedly by Zuma's legal team and by others. And as you say, it does it diminishes the law and makes it look pointless and futile. The courts, the judges need to get together and think how they're going to deal with this issue. People have rights to appeal, people have rights to review.
Of course, no one suggests otherwise.
But there ought to be some kind of limits, because it makes a mockery of the law.
What does this do to Dali Mpofu's reputation, good or bad?
Well, you just have to watch the proceedings and compare, you know, his performance against the performance of some of the other counsel for the other parties. And frankly, he's disrespectful. He's rude. He's debating. He's kind of debating with the judges. His tone and his attitude is argumentative. It doesn't accord with the kind of etiquette that I certainly would expect from an advocate in a court. I find it disrespectful and offensive. But it's also, it's argumentative. You know, he's not making legal arguments. It's like he's involved in a political debate with someone. I don't approve. I'm particularly perturbed by the whole tone of his address towards the judges and the way that he engaged with us. I think it shows a lack of respect.
And I think that too, to my point earlier, does damage to the legal, to a system that needs to be upheld and respected.
Unfortunately, that kind of disrespectful attitude towards judges seems to me to also be entrenched, a bit like the Stalingrad strategy. When judges are set up as their enemies and, equivalents to be argued with, you're making a case and they have to make a determination on the law. You know, they're not your friends, they're not your debating colleagues, and you're not up in a debate against. And I think there's a sliding on the side. There's disciplinary issues here, and etiquette issues, and professional issues of professionalism that I think are concerning.
Richard Spur, South African human rights attorney, talking to us about the Jacob Zuma parole hearing and giving us a very, very real view on what he thinks.